The Journey, Continuation.
I was looking forward to spending a couple of weeks with an English girl. I thought we might have something to learn from each other. But these last few days, I've begun to wonder whether there's anything I want to know about you at all. You read crappy magazines, you listen to terrible music, you talk to your mother like she's your servant, you haven't made the effort to say a single word of French. En collez-vous? I spat at him. What? You want me to go paste myself? Axel sneered at me. You don't even know enough French to swear. We spent the rest of the morning at opposite ends of the house. Me scribbling furiously in my diary. Axel, a familiar fragrance reached my nose. I leaned out of the window of my bedroom to see Axel on the patio. He was smoking. That's a disgusting habit, I shouted to him. Goes with the rest of me, Axel shouted back. He didn't look at me, but the tone of his voice let me know exactly how he felt. I was feeling pretty rubbish myself. After all, he'd just told me I was stupid, uncultured, and ignorant. I didn't want to be that girl. And I certainly didn't want Mum to come back and find out we had been arguing. I walked out of the villa and sat on the back step beside Axel in his wheelchair. We need to make up, I said. Mum gets really upset if people row. Ollie doesn't like it either. It wasn't your wheelchair that made me weird with you, I said. You just seem like such a genius with all those books. Axel offered me a drag on his cigarette. But not such a genius that you're clever enough not to smoke. I smiled and pushed the fag away. The holiday got much better after that. Axel convinced Ollie and Mum that we could look after ourselves. Each morning, Ollie drove us to a part of town where Axel could use his chair, then disappeared with Mum to get romantic. Axel and I spent long afternoons hanging together outside a cafe on the town square. He told me about the birth defect that had twisted his legs. I told him about Mum and Dad's divorce. He told me about the kids who picked on him because he wasn't able-bodied. I told him about the kids who picked on me because my grandparents came from Mumbai. I taught him the proper lyrics to a Blink 182 song he had been singing wrong for a year. He taught me how to order a glass of wine in perfect French. Not that we did, of course. And pretty soon, I didn't see the chair when I looked at my friend. I saw his brown eyes, his passably trendy haircut. I saw the way his mouth curled up in a smile when I got my French pronunciation wrong. On our last night in the villa, Mum and Ollie went out, leaving me and Axel to eat French bread and cheese beneath an olive tree. It was a perfectly clear night. I don't think I'd ever seen so many stars before, having grown up beneath the artificial orange glow of London. Axel pointed out some constellations to me. I crouched on the ground next to his wheelchair to better see where he was pointing. He patted the arm of the chair, inviting me to perch there. When he finished describing the stars, he tipped his head back and looked up at the sky. He sighed. I've had such a good holiday, he said. And me, I said honestly. With you. For the first time since we made friends, Axel and I found ourselves in another uncomfortable silence. But this time, I knew what I wanted to do to fill it. Can I kiss you? I asked him then. No, he said. It's not because I feel sorry for you, I assured him. It's not because I want to tell my friends I kissed a guy in a wheelchair or anything. I just want to kiss you, Axel. No, said Axel. I don't want you to. I stared at him. Why not? Perhaps I just don't fancy you, he said. When he finished laughing, Axel pulled me from the arm of the wheelchair and onto his lap. He wrapped his arms around me and rested his cool cheek against mine. He did kiss me then, but only like he would have kissed a baby. Friends forever, he told me. Bien sûr, I said. Amis toujours.